Okay. All good?
All good.
All good. All right. So, Courtney, take us through your career journey. I think that's the best way to start.
Oh, my career journey has been a little bit odd. So I actually started in vet medicine. So I was actually I started as a dog groomer, and then I went to school for vet nursing. So I was actually a vet nurse for a while, and then I spent a lot of time wrestling with dogs and getting yelled at by owners, and I thought, how am I going to do this when I'm like, in my 60s? Do I want to be wrestling with dogs on the floor and a bunch of hay? Like, so I thought maybe I just need like a nice little office job where I'll just, sit with some nice ladies and type on the computer is really what I like, find something that was like just, easy. And so I was researching. Well, I'll go back to school, and I always liked medicine, but I didn't necessarily want to pursue another nursing type field. And I thought I was too old to go to like med school, so I thought I stumbled upon HIM on the Red River College website, and I thought, hey, this is kind of cool. It kind of will probably, strengthen my technology skills. And it looks like there's a lot of medicine incorporated, so this could be cool. And like literally, that's why I signed up. It was not very thought through. It was like this will work. So that was interesting because it was probably the best like decision I ever made because it led to like so many huge things for me. So it was kind of like just a really good experience for me. And then while I was in school, I guess I learned that I kind of had this, I don't know, passion for also helping others while they were there. Like I really liked helping other classmates and things like that. And I thought, well, maybe I could just teach this. And there go my dogs in case you're Boston. Okay. So I thought maybe I'll be an instructor and I'll teach this. So that was kind of my goal, and I made, certain choices to sort of build my resume and get the experience I needed to do that. And eventually it just worked out. And that's kind of how I ended up in this sort of odd health information slash education industry. So it's kind of like being in two. And I always say it's really weird because I go to like teaching seminars and things where we don't talk about what we teach, we just talk about teaching. But then I go to things with HIM related stuff, and it's like we don't talk about teaching, we just talk about HIS. So it's like two worlds that do collide for me, but it's just interesting being part of, sort of both of them. So that's kind of how I ended up professionally where I am. Hopefully that answers kind of your question there.
It does. Something that you said intrigued me,
Yeah,
though. You
sure.
said, I've had a lot of opportunities along the way. So, what are those
Yeah,
opportunities that stand out for you?
sure. I kind of felt like this. Well, I guess I could say HIM just did. It seemed to be a lot broader in job, but also educational opportunities after graduation, compared to what I was used to, which was being a vet nurse. Like there really is nothing after that. You can't go to be a vet. Like that's what you do now. So with this, I thought, well, this is cool because I could, go certain ways with this. I could have ended up staying in the field, but I went into education instead. So then that sort of unique mix I found opened a lot of doors. Like, for example, Chima contacted me and they were kind of like, oh, you have this interest, like you have HIM, but you also have the teaching side of it. So, that's a good skill to have when it comes to building standards and doing accreditation work and things like that. So that really opened the door there. And then ever since then, I get contacted by other universities and colleges in the country saying, hey, we need somebody to review our program, and you have both things. So can you do, like, so it just, for me personally, just opened up a lot of opportunities that I never would have had before. So it was like, I don't know, the perfect storm. Like these skills all came together and it worked for me. One thing in life is I've always been very lucky with jobs, nothing else, but just jobs, literally nothing else. But job wise, I've never struggled. I've always gotten the type of schedule I've wanted. I've always, I've been very lucky with jobs. So maybe that's just where I get lucky in life. So
Not a bad
yeah.
piece of luck to have, to be
No,
honest.
it could be a lot worse, I think. So
Oh, that's funny. I was gonna ask, so this is me going off script now.
Yeah.
One of the questions that I had while you were talking
Yeah.
again, did any of your, first of all, I've never heard of a vet nurse, so that's interesting,
Oh,
but
okay.
did
Yeah.
like vet tech, vet
Yeah,
assistant,
vet tech, vet nurse, same
okay.
thing. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
love it. Did any of that help you as
It did.
you sort of move through
I think it,
your role as
yeah.
an HRM?
I think it did. Well, just thinking like academically and like knowledge wise, the medicine background really helped because, even though in vet tech we would study animals, they have all the same organs, right? So, and medications, surgeries, those things really helped me academically. So I felt like, when other people were struggling with those topics, I didn't struggle so much. So I was able to sort of help others and kind of explain things. So that's kind of how I felt like, oh, maybe I have, a good way of explaining things that people just understand or whatever. So that I think mostly just like academically it helped a lot. But I always see these cool jobs where like, well, and I know you did that interview, I can't remember her name, where she worked at the vet college and she was doing like an HIM role with animals. And I always thought, well, that would be cool. Can I do that? So like I'm always like, please pick me for something. But you never know, one day that might, and I know that they're starting to look at that data closer. So I think that's really cool. So maybe I'll get to actually combine the roles one day. Never know.
Well, it definitely sounds like you have a really diverse background. So that
Yeah.
would lend for you, almost lend for you to go almost anywhere within that sort
Kind
of
of.
healthcare
Yeah.
kind of realm,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. I think so.
Let's see. What key moments and decisions led you to your current role? Well, you kind of sort of talked about this. I was going to say, as an instructor at Red River, but you kind of talked a little bit about that. Is
Yeah.
there anything else that maybe you want to highlight from that
I
perspective? Like,
think, yeah, and I'm looking at what I wrote here. I think like when I was in HIM school anyways, I was like a little, not that I was the like oldest student in the class, but I had already been through a program there and I knew it was going to be very like intense and it was going to be hard. And I guess I found like while I was there, and this was my second time taking a program there, that I was really able to like help fellow classmates. Not that I volunteered for that role or anything, but it was obvious to even my instructor, who actually got a little bit upset at one point, where she actually said, "Why does everybody keep going to Courtney? I'm right here if you want to ask me." And I was like, "Yeah, why does everybody keep coming to Courtney? Because I don't know what I'm doing." And this wasn't while I was in school, so I kind of thought, well, maybe it's like how I'm explaining it or how I'm interpreting it. Not that it was necessarily 100% right, but maybe it just guided people a little bit more, or I was on the same level as them or something. So that was kind of like a moment where I was like, well, maybe that's a skill that I have that I should use. So I could still do HIM stuff, but maybe helping others do it or teaching others to do it would be my most useful, I guess, way to use my skill. So that for me was kind of a key, I guess, a key moment that I was like, well, people keep asking me, maybe I should just do it. Like, so I, and then I thought, yeah, and I enjoy it. Like, I like talking to people, I like helping students. And so from there, I kind of decided, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to be a tutor and I'm going to, get some experience. So if there ever was an opportunity, I could like follow through with that and maybe get it. So yeah, I guess that was a key moment where I was like, people keep asking me for help. Maybe I should help them. So that's a big part of it, I think.
But I like again, I think that's a good skill to have, not just,
Yeah.
within your profession, but that ability to take data or information and
Yeah.
break it down into the parts that people can understand,
Well,
right? So it
exactly.
actually makes
Yeah.
sense that you're in these two worlds where
Yeah.
that's predominantly
Yeah.
what you do.
I think so. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
So first major milestone in your career. And then how did it influence subsequent
Yeah.
role?
I think definitely for me, it was getting hired as an instructor. So, like, for sure, graduating from health information school, but I had been there before, like I had graduated before and it didn't work out. So I was kind of like, well, this could work, I could do something in this field. But I think once I found that like real like passion, then getting hired as an instructor to also teach it, like, and I really love health information management because I think it's very like it's got an underdog vibe to it, and it's like I've always like wanted to advocate for those types. So I'm like, yeah, let's tell people who we are, and like we do such important work that nobody knows about. So I really kind of blended that with, well, I'm gonna teach everybody else to do that too. And I always tell my students, like, if you want to get paid more, if you want to be recognized, you have to be the one to tell them what you do, because I'm not going to do it for you. I'm trying, but you really have to learn how to advocate for yourself. So I think just having those two things in mind, I hope that I've, released a bunch of graduates who are advocating. And I think they are, from what I hear, they're very passionate, which I know was not the case for a lot of people who graduated, 20 years ago. It was kind of like, oh, okay, I'm gonna do this now. I think these graduates are actually really excited about, what they could do one day. So, and now I kind of forget what the question was, but oh, significant milestone, was that it? And then I
I
forgot
think
what I
you
was. Oh
asked.
yeah, so getting hired as an instructor, I think it was like, oh, I get to do this super awesome job. And it's kind of like, it's a powerful role because you have this sort of like forum and you have to use it for good. So that's what I kind of tried to do, of course, advocating for HIM, but also just in like general life things. Like they hear a lot of things that they probably don't want to hear from me, but I'm like, I have you for 2 years. I'm going to teach you literally everything I know. So if it means how to brush your cat properly, but also how to collect data, like I will do it. So I really try to instill like everything I can. So I, and that's kind of a joke, but also like just try to be a good person. Like I tell them that, like help, don't like help others, like do things like that. So it was kind of a big thing for me to be able to do that. And I always say, well, I get to stand here and talk, so you have to listen to me whether you want to or not. So I try to instill more than just HIM concepts, because we all know that that can get a little dry at times. So I try to make class a little bit more fun and more, personable with those types of things. So going back to the original question, yes, probably just getting hired to be in such a big role, and also responsible for teaching these very important concepts in HIM was very stress inducing when I first started. Now it's gotten a little bit better. And then I'll say that another big sort of significant milestone was when Chima actually reached out to me to help them, and I never been asked to just come work for somebody before, and I thought, what do they have the wrong person? Like I'm just confused. Like I was really confused, but it was really like humbling, and it was really like, oh, maybe they see something in me that I don't see, because I still don't feel like I have experience or knowledge, but I try. Maybe that's what people like. So, that was another, I think, significant milestone, was having Chima reach out to me and say, hey, we want you to help us. That was like, oh, okay, can I help you? So, those two things were pretty significant.
So I'm going to say two things. One, I can see why people reach out to you. You're very engaging. You seem
Oh, thank
very
you.
nice and personable. And
Thank you.
I think, I mean, I've never talked to you about health
Yeah.
information stuff per se, but I think that you would have a way to really engage the content,
Try.
and
Yeah.
make it relatable, right? Like I think
Yes.
sometimes you hear all the theory and you're
Yes.
like, it's out there, but you can't relate it. I
Yes.
feel like you would
Absolutely.
put
And
those pieces together.
I try very hard to do that. Like I spend a lot of time prepping, probably more than I have to. Like I study it myself. Like I study it and then write it in my own way. And I've had students ask me before, they're like, can we, and I've said, they've said, where did you get those notes? Like, we want those notes. And I'm like, No, that's, I'm like, that, those are my brain notes. Those are, and they've said to me in class, can we have your brain notes then? Because how you explained it is, it makes it much, and I'm like, no, they're in my head. They're in my brain. That's what I mean. They're my brain notes. So, I have started to document some of those so that I could share them because some of these concepts are so, you know, they're not easy to understand at first. So I do try to say it in a way that people can understand it. So hopefully it's working.
Well, it must be. I mean,
Well,
I
I
think
hope.
it sounds like it worked from the beginning when you were a student, and now
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
translated
Yeah,
over, right? That's
maybe.
brilliant. I love
Yeah.
that. Okay, so can you share a book or a resource that has significantly impacted your professional development? And
So
then
this,
why would you recommend it to
well,
others?
this one I might have to come back to because I couldn't think of something that I'll come back to you with that one maybe after.
Okay.
I needed to think about that one a little bit more, if that's okay.
No, that's fair. That's
Okay,
fair.
okay.
So what key piece of advice did you receive early on in your career that has stuck with you and shaped your leadership?
Yeah, so the first one, and I think this is just like a common like thing that we all hear. I don't know who said it or, but it's just like, and this came to mind almost immediately, but like, and I always say this to my students is like, if you work hard, that is like one thing that I can prove is that if you work hard, it will pay off. If you put in the hours to study, it will work. Like, so even though that didn't come directly like from somebody I know, I just always thought of that saying like, work hard and it will pay off. That is true. Like I'm proof of that because I wouldn't say I'm overly like intelligent or anything like that, but I study a lot and I work hard and I try to learn things and I practice them. So I just think that that's a big thing. And but coming from somebody I can actually mention, Eileen Oleski was my previous instructor, like when I first came in, and I actually got the chance to work with her. She came and taught for a couple terms with me, and it was so like such a like an honor. I was like, oh my God, like she's the queen and I get to teach with her. So it was kind of this cool experience. But she always said, because I was always worried, like, well, am I doing a good job? Like, I don't know if management thinks I'm doing a good job. Do I even know this stuff? But she said that, you know, if you have good feedback from your students and you're making a difference with them, that's all you need. Like, that's really what you need because that's what you're here for. So, if you're feeling like they're getting it and they like being around you and they enjoy your classes, then what else do you need? Who cares what everybody else thinks? So, that's something I try to keep in mind because you're always like, oh, I don't know if I compare to, you know, other people teaching this, which maybe I don't. But from what I know, the students, I mean, you can't make everybody like you, but I think the majority have fun with me. And so that's kind of what I try to keep in mind.
And how long have you been working for the college?
Just 5 years now, which sounds crazy to
So
even say that.
clearly you're doing something right.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's hard to hire people to do this job, so I hope, but I hope it's more than that.
I believe it is more than that. You're so humble. I love it. Okay, so if you could attend a conference or a workshop on any topic related to health information, what would it be and why?
This was a good question because I'm going to the national conference in October, and this is a topic that I really want to look at is ICD-11. And I know that there is going to be like somebody there talking about that. So, and the reason for that is just because I know that that's a massive change for everybody. And because I teach that topic, I need to learn it. So I'm like, can I learn it now? Teach me now because I need to study it. So I'm like, yeah. And so that's a really like good question because I am going to attend it and I'm going to try to learn as much as I can so that I can pass that on to my students when we do have to learn it. And it's going to be hard and massive and I'm scared already, but that's what I would pick.
I'm gonna challenge you a little bit.
Okay.
Outside of the conference here,
Okay.
is there any other workshop or conference that has piqued your interest in the
Probably
field?
the in, and I'm probably not getting the acronym right, but the one of the international like health information management ones would be really cool, I think. I don't have a specific topic, but it would just be interesting to see health information from maybe like more of an international sort of perspective, because like we really focus on what we do here in Canada, but it would just be interesting to attend something more like international, bigger scale, where maybe there's more comparisons or we learn from each other. So learning from maybe what other countries do, and you know, some of that knowledge would be really interesting, because I know Canada, we're pretty like on the ball with things, but we're never the most advanced, right? Like there's always somebody doing something better. So it would be interesting to see, you know, well, what are they doing that maybe we could bring here to help our healthcare system, right? So n not really a topic, but just a conference that would be really cool to attend.
Absolutely, and I'm putting that on your bucket list.
Yeah,
So the next time
okay.
we chat in
Perfect.
about a year.
I hope.
Okay, so who are some thought leaders, other health information professionals in the field that you admire, and how have they influenced your career?
Okay, that's a good one. Well, and like your Jeff will laugh because I have to say Jeff, and I even have in brackets here, I'm not sucking up, because me and him are always joking with each other, but and I always tell Jeff, I'm like, I do respect you a lot. I have to bug you a little bit because that's just who I am. But that's the nature of our relationship. So I'm in all seriousness saying Jeff, I know he's not an HIM person, but he's done like huge things for our profession, in my opinion, and from what I've seen, because when I graduated, it wasn't like that. Like it was kind of this really negative, like, what's the word? This sort of, I don't know, this negativity surrounding the profession, and people weren't excited about it. And it was hard being a graduate and being like, oh, well, people don't even like it. What? Like, am I gonna like it? So when Jeff came in, it was like all of a sudden people liked it, and it was like, oh, he has all these visions, and like I know he's business oriented, but maybe that's what we needed, because I think all of his, whenever I meet with him and we talk about things, like everything he says I think is so valuable and like inspirational. Like he has a way of inspiring people and like making them believe in something. So you know, whether he believes in it or not, which I know he does, he has that skill. So I always enjoy listening to him talk, and I just think he's done a lot for our profession. So I have to mention it. It's not trying to keep my job or anything. So good thing this is recorded. You can tell him, you can show him. Okay. The other one I have to mention is Pat Visosky. And she is, I think, still on the board, but I've had the opportunity to kind of work with her, not one-on-one, but we've done a lot of communication through my work with Chima and her work through Chima. And she actually, at the conference we had in Winnipeg a couple years ago, the entire board of directors was here as well. And I didn't really know of I think I knew the name, but I didn't really know who she was. But she actually like found me and came up to me, and she said, "I really wanted to meet you. I kept hearing things about you." And I'm like, "Me? I'm just hosting. I'm just the host. I'm like the goofy host." And she said, "No, I always hear people talk about you, and I just really wanted to meet you." And then I realized who she was and how influential she's been and how like smart she is and all, and she's so humble. And I just admire her so much because she is so humble. And, you know, she, even though she's at such a high level, she still seeks out the little people to come, and she wants to meet us. And I think that was like, it was so nice. And I thought, who is this person? Like, she is so nice. So, and I just know she's really smart, and she also is an instructor, and I know her students must love her. So I just kind of like look up to her a lot, because I think she's so cool and she's so smart, and I don't know, she's just so nice. So I always have fun talking to her. So I think those two have really stood out for me. And then of course Eileen Oleski, I know I mentioned her earlier. She was like the first person to introduce HIM to me. So and she also taught me how to teach, I would say, because I watched her for a long time, and you know, still to this day, I'll text her and be like, what do I do now? What does this mean? What is so, she's really the one that introduced me to the field and taught me the field, but then also taught me how to teach and is like still helping me. And so it was kind of an honor to be able to also help her because she came back to teach and, you know, some of the technology had changed and things like that. So it was like kind of a role reversal. So it was really cool. Yeah. So those three people for sure.
I love how you said, and I can't remember the person's name now. I don't know why I was standing out, but you said that the person who's very high up is very humble. I see like that same quality in you.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. You're like, I'm just a little person. I'm like, well, I don't know about
that.
Well,
I will always see myself like that. Like, it's so funny, like, to have an important role, but like at the end of the day, I come home and like, I'm just like, it's just me. Like, I don't think of myself that way. I never will. And I just, it's weird. I don't know. But Pat to me, like, when I email back and forth with her quite a bit, she's got a PhD and she teaches all these high level HIM programs and things. Like, she's so smart, but how she talks to me is like, we're just like two friends talking. So I'm just, I don't know. I think people like that are really cool because it's like they have this other side to them, but they don't use that to, you know, try to be better than you or something like that. Right. So I don't know. She's just really, how she carries herself is really cool to me, I think.
I love that.
Yeah.
I also find it very fascinating. You said that when you first graduated or in the beginning, there was this negativity surrounding the profession. What was that like?
I don't know. It was weird. It was like people, like we as a class, we got to go, this is when each province also had their own association with health information. So it was at a Manitoba led one. So it wasn't just like a chapter of CHIMA. It was like actually a Manitoba association. And they were deciding to actually become a part, like a chapter of CHIMA instead. And it was just kind of a weird kind of mood in the room. Like, people weren't excited. People weren't overly thrilled with CHIMA. People weren't excited to really be there. They're kind of there because, you know, they got the day off work and they probably got breakfast with it. So and I kind of thought, is this my future? Like, is this what I signed up for? So it was really cool to see how fast that changed, though, because I think the next time I got to go to one of those, it was through CHIMA, like solely through CHIMA, and all of a sudden people were like excited and CHIMA staff were there and it was like, oh cool, we get to meet, you know, some of these people who are doing big things for us, and all of a sudden it was like this appreciation was there, which it wasn't before. So, and I know that had to do with Jeff coming in, so that's why I mentioned him, that like whatever he did, whoever he talked to, like, it worked.
Whatever Kool-Aid he's giving everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's so fascinating because I've interviewed a few people associated with CHIMA and a few people in each health information, and literally everybody has this passion. Like, I sit back because I was like, oh, this is like, and initially I was like, oh, it's all about data, right? And I was like, it's not going to be, you know, the most engaging. But literally every single person made me want to learn a little bit more. Cool. So I totally get that, you know, I don't know what it was like before, but that engagement and
that's good because you're a nurse, right? And so it's cool for, you know, somebody on the front line to sort of get this appreciation for it, because that's awesome because you can kind of spread the word for us, Kelly, which is kind of what you're doing. Like, that's really cool for you too, I think. You kind of have this like dual like skill set as well.
That's it. Yeah. What I like about it is, I think, again, when I first started, honestly, health information to me was, and somebody said it in the interview, you know, we're not just the people in the basement. And I was like, that's literally what I thought. You know, the people in the basement.
Yeah,
right? Like, totally. Oh, I was one of those people. I'm so sorry.
We are, but. Yeah.
That's why you guys are always in the basement.
I know. And it's so funny here when somebody's like, a graduate will contact me and they'll be like, Courtney, I have a window, I can put a plant, and I'm like, you got a window already? That is like that measures your success in this field. You got two windows. Like, I didn't get a window for a while. So, yeah, it's funny. It's just a joke that we have, but yeah.
I love that. Okay, so a little bit more of a kind of a serious question. What recent innovation or trend are you finding particularly interesting? Now, you mentioned ICD-11. Is that it, or is there something different?
Well, I think that for sure, because we have to ICD-11, yes, because we have to follow the rest of the world. So that will be interesting to see how that goes for Canada. But I think, like, I recently took a micro credential in AI, and I know, like, we use AI in medicine a lot, and we have for a long time, but I think it'll be interesting. And I don't know why my camera keeps doing that. This is a new computer. I'm sorry, Kelly.
It's okay.
I know I just keep bl it blurring out. I think AI, and it was interesting because in my micro credential, again, it's just a bunch of people from all different, like, teaching all different things, and a lot of them were really worried, like, oh, we're gonna lose our jobs in my field or whatever. And I said, well, it's kind of interesting because in HIM and in medicine in general, I don't think we're losing jobs. I think we're actually going to have more jobs from it. We might lose some jobs along the way, but I think a new job will take over. So I think it's kind of cool to see. It will be cool to see how the use of AI now, especially on how fast it's evolving, will impact health information management, like, for the good too. So for, data collection and data use, et cetera. So I'm curious to see how that changes, because I suspect it will be a very fast change, just like everything else with AI. So AI in medicine, but AI also in health information management, I think it's going to be, like, here soon. So I don't know what it means. I don't think anybody knows what it means or what to expect, but it'll be interesting to see how it kind of changes the profession, I think.
I think you're right. I think AI it's a hot button topic, right? And across every industry. I hear a lot about it in the
I
creative
bet.
circles because people are just losing their minds
I
with regards
know.
to AI,
It's
right?
insane.
Creatively. But I think you're right. Like medicine and technology for sure, obviously, are the two buckets where they grab a hold of very innovative things and use it to their advantage. So it'll be
Absolutely.
interesting to see how it evolves
Absolutely.
as we go forward.
And to use it, like, for patient care, that will be interesting, because it's one thing to use it, like, creatively, of course. Now we can do anything with it, but how can we use it to actually help medicine grow? Like, how can we use it to actually evolve that as well? That will be it. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But it will be interesting to see. And also with nursing, right? Like, with nursing things as well, it'll be cool to see.
It might actually help charting everything that
Yeah,
you
well, it
love to
should.
do.
I mean, and that's, like, a basic thing that should it should be already there. It should be already being used, but we see a lot of places not using it, and it's annoying, right? So, yeah.
That's fair. Okay, so looking back, what advice would you give your younger self at the start of your career, and how do you hope to inspire the next generation of professionals?
Yeah, that's a good that's you're good at coming up with these. I could see why they hired you as well. You're a very good conversationalist, Kelly. You're very good at that.
I appreciate that. Thank
Yeah, and
you.
also I think it was Alicia who told me yesterday that she got to meet. Did you ever meet Alicia? Yeah, and we
I
were talking
did.
because I spent some time with Jessica here in Winnipeg, because she has a cabin, like, right down the street from me, and it's so
Nice.
rad because she's from Calgary. And Alicia was telling me that she got to meet you, and I'm like, oh, I'm jealous. And she said that you were really, what was the word? Can't remember the word she used, but really, like genuine, and just, like, I don't know, like, you have
Sweet.
a cool personality. Like, you are who you are.
I also had a couple of glasses of wine that day.
Hey, she loves that. I do that too. I love that. So, no, you're very down to earth, easy to talk to. So your second job is good for you as well. All
Is
right, now back to
100%.
your question. Okay.
Yes.
So one thing I like to tell my students is, like, it was hard for me too. It's hard for everybody when they first start. So, like, just keep putting in the work. Don't give up, because if you keep, like I said, like, hard work always pays off in my mind. So, yeah, it sucks, but keep doing it because it will pay off. Don't be shy, and that's really hard. I was a very shy person growing up, believe it or not, and I always tell that to my students, like, I was shy, like, I and still to this day I consider myself an introvert, and they're like, no, you're not. And I'm like, no, I am, because I live alone. I like being alone. I don't want to talk to people after a certain time. So I'm an introvert. I just taught myself how to speak to people. And I always say, you can do that too. So if I can do it, you can do it. So talk to people, ask questions, because that's how they remember you. And that's exactly what happened with Chima and me. Like, I was pretty new, but I always said, like, hey, can I help you do this? Do you have, like, can I volunteer with you? Like, make yourself known, because people will remember that. So don't be shy, all those types of things. Like, just do it. People won't think negatively of you for asking questions or asking to help. So, I also think, sometimes it's hard to find people who are actually interested in what they do. So if you can find, like, an interest, like a certain realm in the field, like, oh, I really like privacy, or I really like data analytics, or I really like teaching, or I really like, hold on to that and go with it, because people will see that there's a passion there, and all of a sudden that becomes, oh, I want somebody who actually cares about their job. You might not be the best at it, but if you have interest, people like that in the workplace. So those are some of the things that I always try to tell, younger professionals. And I think that's something that I probably would have told myself, is like, it's going to suck sometimes, but just put yourself out there, and it usually works out when you do that. So, and what else did I have here? Oh, I still feel like I have imposter syndrome. This is something we talk about at teaching seminars a lot. Like, how are we teaching? How am I qualified to teach? None of us feel qualified ever. We never, like, I'm always an imposter. I'm an imposter to almost like my whole life. So, and I'm just like, if I can do it, you can do it too. So just don't worry about that. We just fake it until we make it, and that's life. That's life, because at the end of the day, it's just work. So if you have to fake it, do it, but at least pretend you care. Or find something you actually care about. That's probably the real goal there. So those are some of the things I like to tell people.
I love it. And how about inspiring the next generation? Like, what's that one nugget? And you said some amazingly inspiring things there, but if you had like one catchphrase that you could
Oof.
use to, like a bumper sticker slogan to inspire the next generation of health information professionals, what would that be?
That's a
I
good
know
one.
that wasn't in the
That's
questions. That
okay.
just
Let
popped
me
into my
think
head.
for a second. Probably. Ooh, I need to think about that one. Because I probably have lots of things that I say. And now I'm drawing a blank. Let me think about that one, Kelly. I
No,
want to give you something eventually, though, because I know that they're there.
you know what? Think about it. And
Yeah,
even as you're going about your teaching day, something will pop up.
it
Take
will.
note of it and
It'll
email
probably
me.
be like 3 in the morning. I won't message you
That's
then,
okay.
but that's
You
usually when
can.
thoughts come to
Yeah,
me.
you can. My phone's off,
Good.
so
Perfect.
feel
Perfect.
free.
Okay. But I do want to come back to you on that, because but I want to make sure it's good. So I don't want to just, you can tell I just say what comes to my mind. So I want to make sure that it's good. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to come back to you with it.
Sounds good. I have
Perfect.
one more question. It's
Sure.
actually not on the questions
Yeah,
that I sent.
sure.
I'm a tattoo person, and so
Yeah.
your tattoo, I've been like drawn to it the whole night.
Really?
I'm
This
dying
one?
to know what it says.
Oh,
Yes, what
I
does it
want my
say?
camera to start.
Oh, now I
This one,
can't see
okay, hold on.
it.
My camera will stop doing that right away. But basically, when it comes back on, so the first one I got there was actually my Baba's signature. So you'll see it. Hold on. I wonder if I. And then my other grandmother passed away, and then my cousin was like, let's get something like to remember. So we found her birth month flower, and we each got, so I thought I put the two the two
Nice.
grandmothers together. So I have my Baba's signature and
I
then
love
this
it.
birth flower sort of under it. And of course now my camera would, and then
Of course not.
probably can't see this one, but I recently got my cat tattooed on my forearm. And his name is Charles, so he's like a little prince.
Love it.
But I want to show you. So hold on, let me turn this off and then maybe back on. Let's see. Nope. Oh, okay. So
Oh,
they're
I
kind of
see it now.
combined.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah. I
And
love the signature.
then,
That's awesome. No, what's the flower? Oh, I can't see
oh, I can't remember what it was now.
it. Okay. That's
And
okay. I was just
maybe it's one
curious.
Charles.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, it's like
Very
she did
nice.
an amazing job. I'll send you a picture of it. But I kind of just stumbled upon her and she said, oh, I only do it off of pictures. And I was like, oh no, I kind of just want more like of a silhouette type, like of a cat,
Yeah.
but with his markings. And she's like, oh no, I do the, and it turned out amazing. Like people are like, is that your cat? And I'm like, this, it looks more like my cat than my cat looks like my cat. Like it's insane. So I'll send you a picture
That'd
here.
be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Oh my God, this was so much
Yeah,
fun.
it was so
Thank
much
you
fun. I want to
so
meet you in
much.
real life. Are you going to the
Oh, one
conference?
day.
Are
I
you
am
going?
not.
No, you're not.
No,
Okay, but
no.
you're in.
Well, I don't have any plans at this point in time to go. You never know. Maybe I'll pop up.
You should. You
Maybe
really
Jeff will be
should. I
like,
think
hey, you
Jeff
need
would
to
like you
come.
there. Where do you live? You're in
I'm in
Alberta?
Calgary.
Oh, you're in Calgary too. You and Jessica both are in Calgary.
And we haven't met.
No? Oh, you guys should meet. You'd really like
I
each
know we
other.
100%
You
should.
should. Okay, well, I have an HIM friend in Calgary and I have Jessica now, so I'm gonna come meet both of
Yes,
you. I am.
come.
And I mean that. Like I will show up. So you have to be my
For
friend now. Whether you want to
life,
or not.
Courtney, for life. Oh
This was really fun.
no,
I
this
feel
was
really bad about
great.
my camera and I feel really bad about being late.
Oh God, no, that's
I'm
okay.
sorry,
Don't
Kim.
feel bad about either. It happened. Being late
Wow.
happens.
Wow.
Again, I know that one. And
Pet peeve
the
of mine,
camera
but
thing,
yeah,
I think,
technology.
yeah, exactly. And I did an interview, I guess it was last week, and I was like, why? And I guess I hadn't done one in a while. I'm like, Zoom changed, and it's like the most panic-inducing thing as you're like trying to be professional and preparing, and I'm like fiddling with the
Like, hold
buttons. I'm like,
on. Let me
oh.
just, yeah. It's impossible. It's impossible. You can never 100% be professional online. It's just not, it's, yeah.
No,
As I say, as
not at
I'm
all.
blurred out and I'm in my pajamas. So,
And again, why I send the audio and not the
yes,
video.
it's good. It's
All
good. Okay.
right, I'm going to stop recording
Sure.
and then I probably should have stopped a while ago, to
No,
be
that's okay.
honest.